big city showdown this week in high school basketball. Always great to have kind of a holiday of sorts in the middle of the season here in Las Vegas, headlined by the Gorman-Finley game, but an unbelievable undercard. They're getting better and better every year, it seems, at the South Point this Saturday. That's what we're going to talk about today on Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer and Jesse Granger. We're presented by Wingstop, the wing experts, open at several Las Vegas locations until midnight. Really excited for Saturday, but until then, not a whole lot going on. Finals week, even though I know it's cool to have a day like that, it seems like there's all these hurdles in the way. We have Christmas break, then midterms, then finals, so a little bit slow until Friday when the teams get back up. So we have a little bit of pause in the action to look at the standings. What's stuck out to you guys? What do you think are some of the storylines we need to look headed into this home stretch of the season?
Yeah, I really think the season has kind of played out like we expected. There's been a few surprises along the way. I mean, I don't think in the Sunrise we expected much of Rancho. In fact, before the season, I think we probably would have said they wouldn't have made the playoffs, or they would have been maybe the fourth seed. And looks like they're going to contend with Canyon for the 1-2. But other than that, we expected Gorman, we expected Clark, we expected Coronado, we expected Centennial. The lower level, DP lost to Cheyenne, which was a little bit of a surprise. We expected Shap to be right there. So I think this season for me, at least the first half, has been pretty predictable. And you know, I'm ready for the playoffs. Just give me Centennial, Clark, Gorman, Coronado in one gym and let them eat.
Yeah, I agree. It's been pretty predictable. If I'm trying to find something that's surprising, I know we had Faith Lutheran in our top 10, but they've been better than I thought they'd be. They're not as good as Centennial, but they're like the clear-cut second-best team in the Northwest. And then Durango is not nearly as good as we thought they'd be. They've lost to a lot of teams. They're sitting there at 6-7, and obviously we knew they were going to be behind Gorman and Clark, but the gap is bigger than we thought it would be.
Yeah, they planned that celebration. Brett Walter got his 300th win, and they wanted to document it and celebrate it, but you just can't predict in a three-game week when you're going to land on it. So they thought it was going to happen towards the end of the regular season, but Faith has been so good. They won so many games, they got it done middle of January.
Yeah, so good on Faith Lutheran for, just like football, moving up and making their presence felt right away. I know the Machione kid. This is one time I'm going to look to Brewer for pronunciations, believe it or not. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Machione. Every time he would score, I was at their game Thursday against Legacy. Nick Machione.
Jalen Fox and Elijah Cody, too, have been great. I think when they came to our media day, you knew they were going to kind of have their three guys, and it seems like, I mean, those three guys are really pacing them. I know they have a lot of pieces around them, too, but that's been big. Another one that stands out a little bit for me, since you guys gave yours in the Northwest, Cimarron's right there, too. I think they played a close game with Faith Lutheran. Faith held them off by 7, but Cimarron, it seems like they haven't really been in the mix of things for a few years. Now they're 13-6, 4-2 in league play, so good for the Spartans, which brings us to our Wingstop Player of the Week. I believe it's DeMarco Alexander. Granger, you've done some research on Mr. Alexander. What's he done this year? Why is he getting this award?
Well, he just had a big game in there. They blew Spring Valley out by almost 40 points. He had team-high 22 points in that game. He's averaging about that for the season. I think he's the fourth leading scorer in the state right now, so he's just been very consistent for them. Pretty much been there all year. And this week has been much of the same, so he's the player of the week.
Yep, so DeMarco Alexander, the usual treatment, a story on LasVegasSun.com, $50 Wingstop gift certificate, certificate, T-shirt, all kinds of good stuff. Still got a few weeks left, so coaches, we're switching girls 1 week, guys the next week. Get to us with those nominations. We'll have our eye out. So Cimarron, like I said, falling in below Faith. It looks like Shadow Ridge right now in that 4 spot. But some teams are going to have some chances to get back up there in the Northwest. Arborview, I think, plays Shadow Ridge later this week. It'd be one game that we pick. Most of the big games, though, are concentrated on Saturday when we will see Bishop Gorman and Finley Prep. This annual event that, you know, seems like it's getting bigger and bigger every year. Like I said earlier, the games are looking fantastic this week. Brewer, what are you going to be looking for Saturday at the South Point?
Just a great celebration of high school basketball in Las Vegas. I think we were there, you and I, for the great Finley Gorman game where you couldn't get a ticket to get in there.
I was trying to describe it to Green. Didn't someone buy one for like $150 outside or something crazy?
I know that they were on StubHub for like $200. Even like our boss, Brian Greenspan, called trying to get tickets into the game. And it was crazy because before Gorman Finley was Coronado Foothill, and the game went into like
double overtime and with a half court shot to send it there or something.
Yeah, and so everybody's waiting for Gorman Finley and they're watching Clark, I mean, Foothill Coronado, which was cool. And then the year before that, the Gorman game went into double overtime with Finley, back and forth Saturday night. A ton of college coaches that are always there, four star players. It's like a college game. So that's going to be fun. I like we get the Clark DP rematch. We get Coronado Centennial, which we may see again in the state tournament. And just a lot of good basketball, man. It's as good as our city has to offer.
Yeah, the only disappointment is when you let off the show, you said something like, give me Coronado Centennial, Gorman and Clark in the same gym and let them play. Well, the closest we're going to get to that is going to be Saturday, because there's no way all four of these teams can be in the state tournament, which is a shame because we have four really good teams, which might be the most ever.
I wish we could get rid of a team from Marino.
Well, it's kind of like last year. The Gorman Centennial game wasn't the state title. It was just the regional title, but it felt like the state title, and pretty much everyone knew whoever won that game was going to win state. It'll be kind of that way this year again.
Yeah, and it feels like that was one we were like pointing towards all year, knowing that was the game, and just kind of throws a wrench into things this year with Clark, because we don't even really know what the game is to hype. It's hard to get super anticipated about one game, because we don't know for sure what the matchup's going to be.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that, I don't know. It's always...
Well, I feel like last year, Centennial and Gorman were clearly the best two teams, and Coronado was... It was a pretty big step down. This year, I think it's a lot closer. I've watched Coronado twice, been really impressed, and I actually think Coronado might be the third best team in the state behind Gorman and Clark. Obviously,
Coronado is the easier road to the state tournament.
That's,
I mean,
that's also
the
true.
Sunrise tournament. Even if you lose to like Canyon in the finals, you get to play in the playing game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, same for Gorman. Gorman could lose to Clark in the championship game of the region, but win the playing game and win the state championship.
Yeah.
But in the Sunset tournament, Clark and Centennial and Gorman, somebody's going to have a heck of a – I mean, could you imagine that semi?
Yeah.
I mean, Centennial's going to have to beat Clark and then Gorman.
And then go to the state and probably beat the same team again if
yeah.
you're in the playing game. Yeah, it's definitely not easy.
Yeah, for sure. I think that we totally agree with that. Granger took my next question. He already kind of ranked these teams that he'd have Gorman, then Clark, then Coronado,
no, Centennial.
Maybe.
Clark, then Gorman.
Clark's the one?
I still think Clark is better.
You realize that Gorman beat Clark, right?
I
okay,
was there.
at their gym.
I was there.
All right. So Granger's got Clark one. Brewer, I wanted to ask your opinion. How would you rank these teams right now?
Gorman, Clark, Coronado, Centennial.
Wow. No love for the Bulldogs. Fourth in both you guys' poll. All right. Well, that's interesting, because I think they would have been two unanimously coming into the season, but we've seen some stuff, and this is a big moment for them taking on Coronado Saturday at the South Point. I think they'll really reestablish themselves so they can pick up a big victory.
They'll need a huge game from Troy Brown, because Coronado is going to beat them up in the paint, especially Will Weems, who we've talked about on this podcast before. The game I was at against Foothill, he's basically unstoppable. If he touches the ball in the paint, it's 2 points.
Totally agree. He's been a man amongst boys physically. Even against Gorman, he was you could tell that he's been in the weight room before.
Yeah, we hyped up that game a lot last week, so we should at least touch on it before we get into the picks this time. 84-61 Coronado. Not all that close. The Cougars put the Falcons away. Jesse, you were there courtside. What were your impressions?
Yeah, we said Foothill's going to have to hit some shots from the outside to stay in it, and they did for the first quarter. It was a one-point game, I think 13-12 at the end of the first quarter, and then the shots just couldn't keep up, and Coronado basically could go inside whenever they wanted. Kennedy Kohler had a bad first half. I think he only had like 2 points, and then he came out in the second half and would just drive it to the hoop every single time he got the ball, and I think he shot like 14 free throws in the second half. So he really took the game over in the second half. They're just so big. Coronado doesn't have a big 7-footer or anything like Gorman has had in the past, but they've got three guys that are just usually the three biggest guys on the court, and they're all three. They all three can pass the ball. They're not just big lumbering guys. They're actually skilled, and they're really tough to handle down low.
Yeah. So Coronado now has a winning record for the first time in a while. They played that tough non-conference or at a league schedule, 9-8 going in to this weekend. Any other thoughts on what's occurred before we jump into the picks?
Pick it up, baby.
All right. Brewer is ready. I think this first game is actually pretty intriguing. Cheyenne at Rancho, both teams we mentioned right off the bat have kind of been surprises this year. One kind of red flag is I guess Cheyenne in their last game scored only 26 points against Elko. That's a little scary to me.
If Cheyenne beat DP and Elko held Cheyenne to 26 points, does that mean Elko is the favorite to win the 3A title?
I mean, I know nothing about the North. Does Lake Tahoe got new basketball?
I don't know.
Give him a call.
Yeah, I know nothing about Elko to even predict that. I thought it was a typo. 26 points.
Yeah, Rancho wins this game. I think they got two pretty solid offensive players, and that's probably more than Cheyenne has.
Yeah, you're talking about Justin Holiday, who was the Lynx top player of the week a while back, and then Trayvon Cotton Taylor has been scoring sometimes higher than Holiday in these games.
And Chris Jackson's still their best, most complete player.
Jackson will go over 1,000 career points this week.
How about that? Yeah.
So
look at that, Rancho with the big three.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Jackson averaging 17 points per game, not even the leading scorer, not even close, because Justin Holiday's leading the whole state or city at least. In scoring, I'm actually going to go with the upset here. I'm going to take Cheyenne. I'm just going to chalk that Elko game up to a very poor showing.
They played their Jays.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, they've had some really good – I mean, hopefully someone's not hurt or anything. I probably should have looked into this. But they had some really decent results this year, not only beating Desert Pines, but they blew out Vegas, who I know is not the same but still a pretty decent team, hung with Canyon Springs real tight. Their scores are always low, so I think maybe they're more defensive-minded. And Brewer has told me the scouting report on Rancho is they're not going to play any defense. And maybe their score totals tell the opposite. So I'm going to say Cheyenne bears down on defense and gets the win here. I'll go different than you two guys. Two teams we've already mentioned a little bit, Faith Lutheran at Las Vegas.
You know, Vegas worries me. They just don't have the – the guys coming off the bench to keep it moving, and Faith is going to have, you know, Faith has got three really solid players, and game's going to be close, but I think Faith prevails. Mascione.
Yeah, two teams headed in opposite directions. Vegas has been a disappointment so far. I think they've lost two in a row coming into this, one to Clark, which is understandable, and then the other one to Rancho, like you said. Faith has played a lot better than I thought they would. I think they win this pretty easily.
Yeah, I'd love to be a contrarian further, but I'm really impressed by Faith. I'm having to jump on the bandwagon. I mean, they've won, I think, three of their last four games by like 20-plus points. The Mascione kid is the real deal, as we talked about. We're going to sweep this one because I am going Faith Lutheran as well. Durango traveling up to Desert Oasis. Desert Oasis, another team, a little bit under the radar, but has a star on the roster, I believe. What do you guys think?
I'm going with Durango.
I was waiting for Granger. You were looking right at him.
Well, I thought Granger knew about this Desert Oasis.
No,
I'm
ready to go. You're talking. I mean, awkward silence.
Who's the kid on? Who's the kid on Desert Oasis that's tearing it up? You know anything about him?
Haas.
I'll look it up.
Jacob Hess.
Jacob Hess.
Same thing.
He's been doing really well. I just don't know if they have enough around him to win this game. Like I said, Durango's been one of the most disappointing teams in the city, but I think they might start turning things around with a couple big wins this week. But like you said, Hess is good. I just don't know if they've got the pieces around him to win.
Yeah, Durango was the surprise team last year, won the program's first playoff game, graduated a ton, lost their coach. The fact that they're being competitive is a sign in the right direction for the Diamondbacks. I got Durango as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Durango's been great or anything, but they've had a pretty tough schedule, so I think they're better than their 6-7 record. I think they're going to get on the right path. Starting here against Desert Oasis, I'm going to go with Durango as well. Shadow Ridge in our review, I teased this earlier, that Shadow Ridge looks like they're kind of in a entrenched in that four right now. They might have a game and a half lead, or maybe just a game lead, but Arborview can get right back into it with a victory here. They're a young team that's had their struggles. I know they've gotten blown out a couple times, but I'm going to call for the upset here again too. I think Arborview puts up a lot of points. You know, if they have a good shooting day, they can beat a team that might be a little bit better than them, and I think they're going to do it against Shadow Ridge on Friday night.
I disagree. Shadow won the first meeting. They'll win it again.
I agree also.
Yeah! With me?
Yeah. Woo! Ridge.
5-point victory at home, the first one, so it wasn't exactly resounding. I admit it's an upset, but, you know, I got to break from the norm a little bit here. I'm going to go with Arborview, Baby Burks. Going to get buckets. Bottom line, Foothill at Spring Valley. Who do you have, Brewer?
I have the Foothill Falcons. They don't have – Spring Valley doesn't have Will Weems, so Foothill will win.
Yeah, Foothill's good. I think they bounce back from a tough game against Coronado. They're not up there with the elite teams, but they're better than most of the teams out there.
Yeah, entrenched in the second tier, Foothill, I agree with you guys. And I don't think Spring Valley's quite in that second tier. I will say I'm a little surprised Brewer only has this a 2-point game.
Well, I think Foothill's a little hungover from Will Weems smacking him in the mouth.
I don't think – it doesn't seem like Spring Valley has played a local team this year within 2 points, but maybe this will be the start of a turnaround for the Grizzlies. I don't think so, though. I'm going with Foothill as well. Here we go. Saturday at South Point. You guys are a little more tuned in than me. Give me a rundown of the day, Granger. When's like the festivities start? When do people need to be in their seats ready for this great event?
Give me 1 second to find the time so that they start. But I do encourage people to go watch the early games instead of just – I mean, Gorman Finley is probably not going to be competitive. So if you want to watch competitive games, then show up for the first couple.
On this podcast for years, we've been getting people accusing – Brewer being a Gorman homer. Now we have the Gorman hater, Jesse Granger, to eagle out the thing. You never think this team would have won like 5 straight state championships.
Yeah,
Gorman might be like the 6th best team suiting up at South Point on Saturday.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but they're playing
I know, exaggerating. But anyway, you definitely don't have them as a top 2 team playing there.
I do not. I have them as the 3rd best team. But
all right, well, let's just start with
the first game, by the way. Is a ladies' game. It's Liberty versus Gorman girls at 11:30 in the morning. First guys' game is Liberty and Durango at 1 p.m. Desert Pines and Clark, the rematch of the 3A rivalry, is at 2:30 p.m. Coronado and Centennial tip off at 4, and then Gorman and Finley's right after that.
That is a whole day of basketball. Very exciting. Even that Liberty-Gorman girls game, I know they have a little bit of a rivalry because they've been two of the better teams, so good from the start. We'll start with the first boys game, though. Liberty and Durango, what do you think?
Like I said earlier, I think Durango's better. Well, like you said, their record's better than they show. I think they get back on the right track this week with a big win over Dio and then a big win over Liberty at the South Point.
Yeah, Liberty is just a step behind from last year, and they're on the right track. They have a lot of young players. They're doing the right things. They're playing in out-of-state tournaments. They're part of this classic, which is for the elite programs of town, but they're a step behind still. They're not going to win.
I kind of want to go Liberty here. I think this game's a little bit even. I just gave this impassioned case for Durango, and now they're going to turn things around. But you know, I think Liberty at their best, like you said, they're young, but they have a lot of potential. Maybe they rise to the occasion and play a tough game. So I'm going to go with the slight upset and take Liberty in this one. Clark at Desert Pines. Man, this was the game that we talked about anticipated games earlier. This was one that we were looking forward to so much for the last 3 years. Is it still the same at all, Brewer, now that Clark is up a level? Desert Pines still kind of the class of the 3A, but you know, is there still a rivalry there? Is it still something we're looking forward to?
You know, I think the players on Desert Pines, Trevon, Abdullah, Cap, Uzane, have something to prove against Clark. It was a game they were supposed to win last year, but what we saw last year from Clark was kind of the beginning of what we see now. Their younger players are just really elite. I mean, they've got some phenomenal kids that are going to make an impact in the D1, and I think Clark really pulls away in this one.
I think Clark beats them pretty bad, too, and like you said, they've got players that are going to be playing D1, but I think it's more importantly, they might not have the most talented players out there, but they play within their scheme the best, and they run plays better than any high school team I've seen. And I think Desert Pines, while they do have the athletes, they're just not going to be organized enough to hang with Clark.
I guess I'm just an underdog lover today, not taking Desert Pines outright. I'll stop it there. But I think I would take them plus the points. Seems like you guys both think this is going to be a blowout.
Well, how many points?
I feel like you guys both described it as not even a close game, so I'm assuming it's at least double digits, right?
Oh, for sure. I'd say 15.
Yeah, I would take plus 15 with DP. I think they will be up for this game. They've played them close in the past. I know that all the faces are different. Clark's better than ever. I think DP keeps it close, but Clark has a few too many guys will pull away by the end. So we sweep it with Clark, but I like DP to keep it close. I think this is probably competitiveness-wise the game of the day. I would agree with Granger on that, as I think he alluded to earlier. Centennial and Coronado. How do you see this one, Ray?
I think Centennial, with its backcourt of Banks and Brown, I think Isaiah's too quick for Coronado, and Troy's going to be the best player on the court. Kind of like, you know, Troy's farewell tour. He's a McDonald's All-American. They announced that yesterday. Big stage, his juices will be flowing, and I think he carries Centennial to the win.
This game is going to be great. I love watching Troy Brown play. He's the best passer I've seen out here, and it kind of reminds me of the last couple NBA finals with it's like LeBron with some other guys that aren't great against a team that's just got so many good players. And I think Troy Brown is going to try his best to beat Coronado, who's got more good players on their roster, but I think Coronado gets the win.
Interesting. I've gone back and forth a little bit. The problem is I don't think Coronado has a Steph Curry to use the finals.
Yeah.
Do they really shoot that well? Do they have a guy like that?
They do.
Okay, well, maybe.
Trey Hurlburt, he's their point guard. He's a small guard. He's like, I think, 5'10 or so. He's got a good handle, and he caught fire actually against Foothill and scored 20 points in the second half against Foothill.
All right, well, you've done a good sales job, but I'm not swaying. I came in here deciding I was picking Centennial, and I'm sticking with Centennial. Brewer's giving me a fist bump. and then something that cannot be spoken about on this family show to Jesse. But anyway, Centennial, I mean, I feel like they're getting it together. At the beginning of the year, we were a little worried about them. They played a tough schedule, just like Coronado. Also lost to Clark and weren't really even that close of a game. But I think they've gotten better since then. And the Ray Brewer theory, I know on this podcast I give him a lot of grief during football when it's every game is, oh, this guy's the best player. I think football's much more of a team game, and there's not one player can overcome everything. But I think Troy Brown is going to be measurably the best player. And I think that makes a big difference in high school basketball. So I'm going to go Centennial, just edges it out.
And this game is very important because it's a matchup we possibly could see in the playoffs.
State tournament.
Right? Yeah. Have to be in the state tournament, yeah.
For sure. This is one to see.
But the playing game winner, which could be Centennial, right? They lose to Gorman in the finals against the Sunrise winner, Coronado, in the state semis.
I haven't been to this thing, to this day like you guys have been, and you guys talk about how packed it is. I just hope that the place is as full as it's going to get for this game. So, because this game, I feel like, is going to come down to the wire, and it can be really exciting, and hopefully it's a good atmosphere. The final game will not come down to the wire.
I'm sorry, Troy Brown's not going to sell tickets to a game by himself. I mean, I think the Gorman-Finley game is so popular, A, because of the history, but B, because of all the studs you see on the court. And I don't even think it's going to be that packed this year because UNLV basketball, the interest is an all-time low.
Yeah.
And, you know, UNLV was courting Shabazz, and UNLV was courting Zim, and UNLV was courting Anthony Bennett. And that helped bring people to the arena. UNLV's not in on anybody in any of these games, nor do Rebel fans care right now. So – I think you're going to deal with mostly high school basketball fans.
Yeah, that's I haven't been to a game, I don't think, since the 2012 one, which was crazy. But like you said, Anthony Bennett and Shabazz, I think there was a lot of noise with what happened with Shabazz in college. It wasn't the smoothest transition, to say the least. I think we forget how massive of a superstar this guy was. I mean, he was like the consensus number one player in the nation at that point. So people were showing up just for him. Mm-hmm. Then UNLV was hot on Anthony Bennett. So that was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, I feel like, 2012. That being said, I hope there's a good turnout for this game at least. There's some people, and I would love if they could see Troy Brown and Coronado as well. I'm with Jesse on that. But without further ado, Gorman at Finley Prep, versus Finley Prep, of course. Jesse's been pretty outspoken that he thinks Finley Prep blows them out in this game. What about you, Ray? You see the same thing? You think this is the Pilots big, or you think it's somewhat competitive?
Well, I think Gorman's always ready to play this game. Initially, if you trace the history, it was to prepare them for the playoffs, to you know, as a tune-up. Now, it's because, you know, they feel they're on the same level as Finley. And you've seen it the last few years. I think Gorman has beaten them two in a row. But Gorman just doesn't have the size to keep up with Finley. And I think the Finley Prep school wins only because they dominate on the inside. And I think, like, you know, Chuck O'Banion, Jamal Bay are Gorman's best two guys, and P.J. Washington, who's just as good, if not, probably better, plays the same position. So P.J. cancels them out. Donnie Tillman, if he plays, I just think, you know, you start putting the ball on the inside and you win.
Yeah, like I said, Gorman can be a really good team. The problem is they rely so much on are they hitting from outside, and if they go out there and shoot like they did against Clark from the outside, then they'll have a chance to keep it close. But I'll take the inside game that's going to just be a lot easier. And Gorman's tallest player is 6'6". Finley's got seven guys taller than that. I don't know how many of them play regularly, but when you got a roster that big, you got a guy that's 6'11", a guy that's 6'10", I just don't see how Gorman deals with it. Gorman's going to kind of get a little taste of their own medicine. They've had that seven-footer in the middle for so long that other teams just have no answer for, and I think they might run into that in this game.
Yeah, I think you guys' points on the size are valid, and I can't go against you guys on this one. I'm going with Finley Prep as well. Be interesting to see if Gorman can hang in there for a little bit or if they're just overwhelmed by all the talent over there at Finley Prep. All I know is we'll be back next Monday to break it down what happened. It'll be fresh in our minds after a Saturday. For Jesse and Ray, I'm Case. Prep Sports Now, thanks for listening.